Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Rates and Lanes with Rico Mohammed. This is the show where we improve your knowledge of the freight market, improve your bottom line, and improve the transportation industry as a whole. We're talking Rates and Lanes. Let's move on down the audio road.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are scrambling, trying to pull this thing together. We're having a couple of technical issues, so we do apologize about that. Hopefully, we can try to salvage and pull off a halfway decent broadcast for tonight anyway. Despite all of the technical issues. So we are going to take a few minutes to, we're trying to get uploaded right now and get the stream shared to a couple of the different Facebook groups. But in the meantime, in between time, let me go ahead and grab my co-host really quickly. Because this is going to be a little bit out of the norm tonight. We're flying without a net, so to speak. We had a couple of issues, but we wanted to try our best to make sure that we tried to make something happen anyway. Chuck, are you there?
I'm here, Rico. You know what? Better late than never. And I got to tell you, this was great. Between the two of us, we were able to pull this off tonight because, folks, we were having nothing but technical difficulties. I wasn't able to set the show up just about a half hour or so before showtime, which we usually do a little earlier, and technology wasn't allowing it. And then Rico, who is better with technology than I am, was having the same difficulty. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, it was just around 3 minutes after seven or 5 minutes after seven, and I was able to finally set the show up to Rico and mine's amazement. So it happened. We had to start broadcasting now at 7:30. But better late than never, as my mom always said.
Absolutely. And we're trying to get the word out right now on Facebook to, like I said, to a couple of different groups. And hopefully we can get a couple of people, get our audience up a little bit, and we're going to go into our normally scheduled programming. So just bear with us here for just a few minutes as we kind of banter back and forth a little bit off script and a little bit off kilter, because just trying to make sure that we send the alerts out. And one of the things that we're going to be working on as well, ladies and gentlemen, like we said, we were talking about trying to get the YouTube channel up and going. I was trying to pull it off this week, but literally I got home today and the equipment that I've been waiting on finally came in the mail today. So hopefully by next week we may be able to get the YouTube stream up, going, and flowing. That is at least that's the game plan at least. But I definitely want to, give you guys an update on that situation as far as that's concerned. Chuck, tell us, before we get into what we were going to talk about tonight, just give us a little update on what's going on with you guys up in traffic and tell us some of the happenings and going on that you guys have got going on your end of the spectrum up that way.
Well, spring is here. You can see it just in the amount of calls we're getting. We're participating in more RFQs than I've seen in a while. And there just seems to be, there's a briskness about business that wasn't there in January and February, and which is very typical for this business, for those listeners that aren't that familiar with it. Last year was a total anomaly. You just never get that. But this year is more like regular years. It slowed down for Christmas a little bit. And I think the industry in general slowed down quite a bit January and February. Now, all of a sudden, March is happening. It's not the end of the world. Things are happening. And we're just seeing an increase in activity all over from our own fleet. We're seeing more activity with our new Chicago warehouse and terminal and trucking company that's doing local work in Chicago, and our long distance trucks and our brokerage. Everything seems to be picking up according to where it should be. So I'm glad to report that, because I'll tell you, in January, the financial pundits were saying, you know, doom and gloom. I did this earlier this week. I got to listen to Noel Perry's podcast through Kevin Rutherford's Education Online. And according to Noel Perry, and he actually, we've talked about Noel before, and I've had the privilege of meeting him once at the CMC, and he's saying that we really don't have to worry about energy prices going up for a while. As far as oil, it's going to remain around where it is. You know, it may go up a penny or down a penny, but if you're going to be forecasting at all, one of the good things is that you don't have to forecast for explosive price increases in fuel, unless, God forbid, something unforeseen happens. You know, if there's unrest somewhere in an oil producing area somewhere in the world, then that would have a huge effect that would be detrimental to the, you know, to our industry and to the cost of fuel. So, you know, I thought that was pretty good. So hopefully Noel's prediction is correct, and we can enjoy lower fuel costs, which isn't always a good thing. Sometimes when you have higher fuel costs, you can recoup some of that extra on fuel surcharge. Because in the end, and I've said this before on our show, at the end of the day, we're just resellers of fuel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Chuck,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. No, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sometimes when we have really expensive fuel, we can make a lot of money, because people feel for us, because they just put $50 into their minivan, and it gave them a quarter of a tank. So when you ask for an extra $100 or $200 for fuel, they don't argue with you.
Right. And one of the things that we were going to talk about tonight, one of the subjects that we were going to try to broach, was the importance of attending trade shows. That is a critical component. We want to try to go over that real briefly to allow our listeners to get an understanding on just how important and how critical it is to growing your business. Now, this one that we're, like I said, we're a little bit off schedule, off kilter tonight. I'm going to go ahead and try to pull up the Rates and Lanes I'm trying to pull up the DAT report, and I'm also trying to go in and pull up this week's USDA report. Let me see if I'm having any success. The glitches have been off the charts for us this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if this is the gremlins in the system or whatever, but we were able to pull off at least trying to get the broadcast up and on the air. So let's see if we can get the other components of the show up and on up and running as well. Let's see. I don't think that is the proper report. Let's see if I'm having a little bit of a. Here we go. All right. Okay, so this week for the USDA Fruit and Vegetable Report, like we talk about on the show, I'm going to try to get links of this and post it up on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page for your viewing pleasure as well. We have a couple of markets with this report. Kind of helps give you an indication on where you might want to position yourself if you're working that spot market, if you happen to be in the fruit and vegetable segment of the transportation industry. It can kind of give you a little bit of a heads up on if it's a good time to head into a certain particular market, especially right now during at the beginning of produce season here. And right now, we only have one area that is reporting an outright shortage of trucks. And that area that is reporting an outright shortage of trucks is southern New Mexico. Right now, they are showing in the red, which means that they are really wanting to get trucks out there to southern New Mexico to get them loaded. There is a much more freight than there is trucks. We got several areas that are reporting slight shortages, and those following areas that are reporting those slight shortages is the San Joaquin Valley, California, North Carolina, Southeast Missouri, Southwest Indiana, and Southeast Illinois, Vidalia District, Georgia, Upper Valley, Twin Falls, Burley District, Idaho, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Eastern North Carolina, and Columbia Basin, Washington. All of those areas that I just rattled off are areas that are reporting slight shortages of trucks. And we have two areas that are showing an outright surplus of trucks, which means you may want to avoid those areas. And those two areas that are showing us an outright surplus of trucks right now is Lower Rio Grande Valley, Texas, and Mexico crossing through Texas. So right now, if you're trying to head down into the valley, that may not be the best decision unless you already have something established and locked in that's concrete and solid for you. Jumping over really quickly, moving right along to this week's DAT Trendlines report. And Chuck, we were just talking about fuel. Just want to go ahead and report that fuel prices increased by 1% over the last week, showing at a national average currently sitting at $3.08 per gallon as a national average for diesel price. And for the week of March 3rd through the 9th, after falling for 8 straight weeks, van and reefer rates are stabilized. The national average van rate held steady, and van volumes are actually up compared to last year at this time. The national average for reefers and flatbeds both added 1 cent per mile on the spot market. Many of the top reefer lanes are still waiting for the spring surge. So, like we just talked about with the USDA, we try to couple these things together to kind of read the tea leaves a little bit, to try to help put you guys in a better or probable situation if you're working that spot market. And sometimes this thing can be hit or miss coming out of some of those areas that are listed on the USDA report that we talked about right before we went into the DAT report. And let me see if I have if I'm able to get into the report. No, I'm not. I'm not able to. Hold on a second. No, I'm not able to pull in the information currently. But what we can do, I do have the information for the national averages, that national average rates from around the country. I don't have the I'm not able to pull up the demand and capacity portion of the report, along with the historical data. I'm not sure what's going on with that. But right now, the national average for dry vans is sitting at $1.88 per mile. Right now is the national average for dry vans is $1.88 nationally. But taking a deeper look, try to break it down by different segments of the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Philadelphia, Pennsylvania checking in, being the representative city, showing an outbound spot market rate for dry vans at $1.81 per mile. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, we got Atlanta, Georgia checking in, showing an average spot market rate on the outbound side at $1.99 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, we got Chicago, Illinois, checking in, showing an average outbound spot market rate at 226 per mile. That leads the nation as far as outbound spot market rates for driving, $2.26 per mile coming out of the Midwest in Chicago. Moving back down into the south central portion of the United States, Dallas, Texas, being a representative city, shows an outbound spot market rate at $1.64. And rounding out the report coming out of the left coast, the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California, checks in, showing an average spot market rate at $2.06 per mile. And let's jump over and see how flatbeds were performing over the same course of time over the previous week. And starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Well, let me do this. Let's talk about the right now. The national average rate for flatbed sits at $2.34 per mile, but we're going to break it down by regions. And starting out in the northeast, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is the representative city, showing an outbound spot market rate for flatbed at $3.73 per mile. That leads the nation. Moving down into the southeast, Atlanta, Georgia being the representative city, showing an outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at $2.47 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Rock Island, Illinois, showing an outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at $2.81. Moving down into the south central portion of the United States, Houston, Texas checks in, showing an outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at $2.28 per mile. And wrapping up the report coming out of Phoenix, Arizona, we're showing an outbound flatbed rate on the spot market at $1.79 per mile. Let's move on over and jump into the refrigerated portion of the report. And we are showing right now a national average for reefers is sitting at $2.21 per mile. Starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, Elizabeth, New Jersey is a representative city, showing an outbound spot market reefer rate at $1.89 per mile. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Lakeland, Florida checks in, showing an outbound rate at $1.46 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Green Bay, Wisconsin checks in, showing an outbound market rate of $2.97 per mile. Moving down into the south central portion of the United States, and this kind of contradicts a little bit of the USDA report. It's showing McAllen, Texas, showing an outbound reefer rate at $2.36 per mile. Wrapping up, coming out of Fresno, California, we show an outbound rate of $2.06 per mile for reefers, and that's going to wrap up the report for the reefer portion of this report. And really quickly, let me jump over and see if I can, if I have the ability to get into pull the bad broker report as well. I'm having a little bit of slowness going in on my connection is not the smoothest this evening. I don't know. We got all kind of gremlins in the system tonight, Chuck.
You know, in Atlanta as well as in Milton, Ontario, it's a cross border gremlin.
It's funny how this thing is how this is working out. Let's see here. Yeah, this thing is moving terribly slow. It's trying to get there, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to get there. And this is unfortunately what happens when everything goes bad. It seems like the whole thing just goes down here. Okay, now we cooking with grease. All right, so this week's Bad Broker Report, good news, ladies and gentlemen. We only got two new entrants, starting off with Apple Valley Trucking Express, Inc. Their DOT number is 316-851. Again, that's 316-3851. This is an updated credit alert. Their MC number is 113-116. FMCSA shows that the surety bond canceled and they have over $30,000 in non-payment complaints. Rapid Trans Freight LLC, their DOT number is 320-6726. This is an updated credit alert. Their MC number is 100-0282. FMCSA shows that the surety bond is set to cancel on 4/7/19. They have over $38,000 in non-payment complaints. And that is all we have as far as the Bad Broker Report is concerned. So, Chuck, I'm going to throw it back over to you really quickly. And we were talking about the subject that we kind of wanted to broach tonight was the subject of attending trade shows and making sure that attending trade shows and spending more time working on your business versus working in your business and the importance of the relationships that you can gain and value that you can achieve for your business by attending said trade shows. So give us a couple of different shows that may be coming down the pike and maybe educate us a little bit more as to why they're important, you know, so that someone can see the value of taking time to get out of the truck for a day or two and taking their time to get to these places and making themselves available for all of the different things that go on at the trade shows.
Well, there's three shows that are coming up in the next 8 months or so. And the first one is in 2 weeks. It starts 2 weeks today, and that's the Mid-America Truck Show, or we refer to as MATS, down in Louisville, Kentucky. And that's a three-day show. Starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday there is a zoo because it's all public. But I was just checking now on that show, and I got to tell you, it would take you a lot of time to do the show and attend the lectures. The lectures are nonstop, and they're phenomenal lectures on how to build your business, how to work with shippers, how to be profitable. It's stuff we talk about all the time, but there's nothing wrong with going out and hearing a different perspective. And I guarantee any of our listeners that go there, you cannot go there and attend these lectures and then walk around and meet the people you need to meet. You know, if you're not in the market for a new truck, don't go look at the new trucks. If you don't, you know, if you're not in the dump truck business, don't waste your time looking at dump trucks. And if you're not in the reefer business, don't waste your time looking at reefers. You've got to be, they're so big and it takes so long, especially if you're going to attend some lectures and you don't know who you're going to meet. So you really want to walk the entire show so you can see all the booths and see if there's somebody, you know, we talked about it earlier. There could be a load broker that you're going to meet that's going to be the missing link between you being very profitable and you losing money, because he or she may have freight that's going to put you in that area where you can get your own customer freight. Or maybe you've got your own customer freight going into an area and this broker can get you back home. You never know who you're going to meet. But I guarantee if you attend any of these shows, you're going to walk away better at what you do. That is guaranteed. As long as you actually go and you attend these shows, attend the lectures, and make good use out of your time. You know, I picked up a really good account at Matt's 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I was there. I didn't have a booth. I was walking around. I thought I had walked the show three times, and I hadn't, because lo and behold, here was a potential customer who had a tiny little booth set up behind a Hyundai trailer. I never would have seen them. And their booth was the size of a piano bench. And I happened to run into them, started talking, and we exchanged cards. And we've been doing business, and we've done a lot of business. So you just don't know. Now, the show after that is GATS, the Great American Trucking Show, and that's in Dallas. That's the Dallas, Texas version of MATS, except it is a little bit smaller. And then the third show, which I can't really, I can't give you a lot of experience because I haven't been there yet. This is only the second time. This runs every 2 years, and that's in your town, Rico. That's in Atlanta, and that's, I think, called the NACV show, and we are scheduled to have a booth there, and that comes right at the end of October. And because of that, I won't be able to attend the annual convention for NASDAQ because I felt that my time was much better spent going to Atlanta. But any of these shows or all of them, you know, heck, if you could attend all of them, you know, that's 9 days a year you'd be away from your business. You would learn a lot, and you would pick up some business somewhere. It's the stuff you learn at these seminars. There's things you take away. There's things that you take away and you bring to your business, and you actually take to your customers. So when you're talking to a customer or you're talking to a broker, you're knowledgeable, and knowledge is power. And these shows are geared to people that are listening to this show. They're geared to people that are in logistics or in trucking, people that have freight and broker it out, or people that need freight to be brokered to them because they have trucks. It's good for all of us. And these are our trade shows, and we should attend them because they're for us. People put these shows on and spend thousands of dollars. I know for our little booth how many thousands it costs. And people sponsor these guest speakers, and it's not cheap, and they're for your benefit. It doesn't cost any extra to attend these lectures, and you'll learn from them, and you'll come away, and I guarantee your business will be stronger.
And another thing, Chuck, we're talking about attending the shows, but let's talk about another little aspect about before you get to the show. And it may be, I'm not sure, if you get on top of it right now, if you don't have any business cards or flyers, I'm sure you might be able to go to Prints Made Easy or Vista Prints or any of the ones that are online and get a pretty, because now, you know, flyers, business cards, and those things of the sort, there's a pretty decent turnaround time on those now. So if you get cracking on it right now, there is a strong possibility that you can actually get those in and be prepared to go and attend the trade show and actually have be able to exchange your contact information and get your name out there to potential to different potential customers, vendors, and the like. So, can
100% Rico,
just being prepared once you know if you make the decision that you're going to go to the show, just you know let's kind of give pull the veil back a little bit and tell our listeners about the importance of making sure you're prepared to attend. What are some of the things other than those basic materials, what are some other things that you would recommend that they have with them?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Number one, business cards. You've got to have business cards, and if you haven't printed them yet, make sure when you print them, put your company name, put your address on there, phone numbers where they can reach you, because people are going to want to call you. Be really, word from the wise, don't give your business cards out indiscriminately to potential suppliers. You're going to get hounded to death. And you're going to waste somebody's time, and you're going to waste picking up your phone. It's not worth it. But have those cards for people that can help you move up the ladder. And I heard a great thing years ago on business cards. I attended, it was a sales lecture. And what It was one of the co-lecturers was a guy by the name of Joe Girard, and back in the 70s, he wrote a book called Joe Girard, the World's Greatest Salesman, and he was a car salesman in Detroit, Michigan, and he was just a salesman on the lot, and he made more money than the guy that owned the big dealership. And if you ever want to pick up that book called Joe Girard, and it's spelled G-I-R-A-R-D, I believe. It's an easy, fun read. But what Joe Girard and Ed Mervis said to us during that lecture was, you're buying business cards anyways. Put something on both sides. So on the front of your card, put your business, your address, your name, your phone number, your email address. If you have a website, put that on. On the back, put what you do. Okay, so if you're involved in LTL between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, put that on the back of your card. If you're into dump trucks, put, we have dump trucks, whatever it is. And that way, if somebody's looking for vans and they see a thing, the dump truck specialist, they may not call you and they won't waste your time or theirs. Everybody will appreciate it. But if somebody's looking for a dump truck, and sometimes that'll happen when you go to a trade show and you give away a card and it says what you do, or somebody gives a card to you and you remember it by what they do, not the company name. And if you can make your card a little bit different than everybody else's, not in size, but maybe in texture or color, that works as well. Really important. A couple other things to do, little tricks that I have found. When you do go to a trade show and you're amassing a ton of cards, always do it in order. And number one, if there's any real hot cards, you pick up somebody's card and it's a real hot one, put it in a special pocket or somewhere special, and you just keep the hottest ones there. That's number one. And number two, and it could be a supplier you need as well. If you're a flatbed hauler and you've been having problems with tarps and you meet somebody there that has the perfect solution to your tarp challenge, then and you need that supplier, we'll certainly give them your card, but take theirs and put it in a special place, and that way you know where it is. That's number one. Number two, always put your cards in order in your pocket with the freshest card either at the front of the pile or the back of the pile. Because more often than not, you'll meet somebody at a show, they'll give you a card, and they will say, hey, come back here for a sec. And you'll walk back, and they'll give me that card. I'm going to give you a guy's extension at our place to call. You look like a buffoon when you pull out 55 or 100 cards, and you shuffle through them looking for theirs. But when you can put your hand on theirs right away, you make the customer or potential customer or even potential supplier feel special. And that's something we should always do because that's why people do business with us. Does that make sense? Hello? Testing.
Long distance
number. Thank you.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah, what's going on? The phone just went dead.
I think yours went dead. You called back into the show.
I did, and nothing's happening. I'll call in again.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. The technical issues are still grabbing us, still giving us problems. So we're gonna wait and see if we can get Chuck back in. But I was just okay. I think that this is him. Chuck,
hello.
Are you here?
I'm here now. My God, where did I leave off? All of a sudden I'm talking and there's dead silence.
No. I was filling the blanks. I was talking about making sure that you use your voice recorder on your cell phone and how important that can be to help save you if you can't write as quick as the presenters are talking, I've always found that that's a nice little handy tool that we have at our disposal that sometimes we forget about, using the voice recorder right there on our cell phone, or going
that's
and buying an independent voice recorder. Yeah, and going and buying an independent voice recorder if you don't want to, if you don't want to take up so much space on your phone as far as the data on your phone. But so yeah, so I wanted to I was ready to turn it back over to you actually, and talking about the tools and things that you're going to need by attending these trade shows. And so you talk, you kind of touched on the bigger trade shows. What value would it be? Is there any value in trying to get in if you serve a certain niche, trying to find out the trade shows for that particular niche, say if a refrigerated food or even I don't know, builders associations or something like that, if you're a flatbedder, do you think that those would serve you well as a business owner?
Yeah, they 100%. They'll serve you well. You've got it. Number one, you have to be really careful at some of those shows now. I did build a business attending those types of shows, and I was very careful for a couple of reasons. Number one, it wasn't right. These people were renting a booth for a lot of money, and they shouldn't be pestered by salespeople. And as a result, you know, I've been doing that for almost 40 years. But I was always very reconnaissant of the fact that they were paying huge money for that booth, so I didn't want to waste their time. So I would always want to get in and out of a booth within seconds and just get somebody's name. You cannot give away pamphlets at those types of shows because they just they'll kick you out of the show at most of those shows. You actually sign an agreement or you agree when you go in, no soliciting. So you've got to be very careful. And I have been, I've actually been banned for life from a show up here in Canada for doing that. And I wasn't giving away business cards, or I wasn't giving away pamphlets, just business cards, and picked up a great account, you know, that I probably had for 25 years. So, you know, you can do it. Now, the smaller shows are better, but you have to be, first of all, are you going to go as an attendee or as an exhibitor? Because if you have one truck, it usually doesn't pay to go as an exhibitor unless, number one, you're doing local cartage work or you're doing something, you know, along the lines of you run an LTL service between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. So you could have a lot of customers or potential customers at one of these shows. And that would pay. Or you're a load broker. Then it would pay to have a booth. But if you're one truck and you service a 500 or 1,000 mile radius, it really isn't worth having a booth. But it could be worth attending and walking up and down and just seeing who's there. And if anybody ships in those lanes that you like to run. And you're not going to be able to, 99.9% of the time, you're not going to be meeting a logistics person at the show. You have to face that right now at those shows. They're not going to let the logistics person leave their office to go and sell their product. They have salespeople that do that, that are usually, unfortunately, very unconnected to the, the salespeople have nothing to do with the logistics people and vice versa. So they, at best, they may be able to give you the name of the logistics person and maybe an extension, but that would be it. And whatever you do, don't waste their time or your time talking to them about anything. Just get the hell out of their booth because they're paying for selling. And I'll give you a little hint about something. What real, real sharp salesmen will do if things aren't very busy at their booth, they will draw you in and they'll start a conversation with you. And they want you in their booth. And the reason they want you in their booth is because it's human nature. If somebody stops at a booth and is talking to the salesperson, somebody else may stop. What's that guy talking about? Why does he have somebody there and nobody else does? What's he doing? And a good sales guy recognizes that. So you've got to watch out for those people because they will waste an hour of your time at a show talking about nothing, or they'll be fishing for nothing. You know, they're playing catch and release, but they're wasting
right.
your time. So if I'm ever working one of those shows and I'm there to drum up business, I do not want to spend more than at maximum 60 seconds in a booth. And at one time, Rico, I did 100 trade shows a year and walked those floors and built I built a good business and I learned how to do it. And, you know, one of my proudest moments doing that was I had years ago, I had a salesperson leave me, and we really didn't leave on great terms. Somebody offered him greener grass on the other side of the fence, and he left. And I hadn't seen him in years and years, and we were both in Ohio at a trade show. And what happened was, and it was a large show, and I was there. It started at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and I was one of the first people in. And when I hit the first wall, right at the end of the show, which was like the beginning, the first person I spoke to said, "What's with you Canadian trucking companies? I just had a Canadian logistics company here 2 minutes ago." And I said, "Who was that?" And he told me who it was. Well, I knew who the guy was because I trained him. So I went to the total opposite end of the show and worked backwards. And it wasn't until late in the afternoon I saw him. And I stood behind him and I watched him do a spiel to a potential customer just to get the information. And I tapped him on the shoulder and I shook his hand and I said, "You know, Kirk, I'm really proud of you. You grew up to be a great sales guy." You know, it was a proud moment because he did. He grew up to be a great sales guy. And, you know, and he used to work those shows. So you can do it. It's just a lot harder now. That's all. It's difficult. And then when you do get the person's extension, don't ask for emails if you're going to do that, because it's very, very difficult, and I have found this anyways, to solicit business by email. It does not work. People don't respond to random emails. They just, that goes in the junk pile. You have
so
less than a 1% of ever closing one of those.
So what are some other strategies that people need to be utilizing we don't want to spend a bunch of time in one particular booth. So we want to be efficient and try to make the most of our time. So what are some other suggestions that you can recommend for us, Chuck?
Well, first of all, if you're going to go there to sell your services, find out where the product's made. If you're not doing any container work, then if the freight is made in Europe or it's made in Asia, don't waste your time. Get the hell out of Dodge, because time is money. You want to spend your time working that show. Your goal should be to come out with as many good leads as possible. That's your goal. So you don't waste any time. And look efficient. Again, you have your business cards. I always have one of those leather, you get them in leather or vinyl folders. They're about, they're about 11 or 12 inches long by about 8 or 10 inches wide. And you put your cards in there, and you can put pens in there and everything else. And the other thing I don't do, I never carry a bag. I don't take free samples. I don't do any of that. The only thing I will take is sometimes a breath mint, because you'll need it because you're doing a lot of talking. But you want to look professional.
So you don't partake in the swag.
No, hell no. You know what? If you're at a food show, eat your breakfast before you go to the food show. And when you work the show, don't be taking people's samples. And then after you finish working the show, if you decide that maybe you really want that, try a piece of that chocolate bar or something, go back. It's really bad optics to be standing there munching on somebody's food. You're not part of. You're at best you're a guest. At best. And you have to behave as a guest. You really shouldn't be there if you're not in the industry. You know, you have the confectionery show, the hardware show. Those are made for hardware and confectionery people, not logistic people and truckers. So you got to be on your best behavior. And remember, if you misbehave, you're gonna somebody will complain. You know, I had a guy just go crazy on me once at a bakery show, and you know, and then security came and they were going to throw me out, but I was able to talk my way out of it and turn things around because I had a whole bunch of customers in there.
Chuck, I want to take us on a little bit of a you said something and it jogged my memory. I was having a little bit of a back and forth with a gentleman on Facebook one day. And right. You just said something that kind of just that kind of really just stuck in my craw a little bit. And I was – we got to be conscious of imagery that we present that is out there. And even on your social media, I understand, you know, if you want to have a business social media – But you got to realize that companies, you don't know, you never know, even though you may be independent of a company, they have, these companies are really protective of their brand and the people that they do business with now. And they have people on payroll that do their vetting of vendors, employees, so on and so forth. And I just would, you know, we're in the transportation industry. And if you are a transportation owner, it's not a good look to have on your Facebook profile of you in your personal vehicle turning up a Corona.
And 100%.
That would just send chills down my spine if I were any type of shipper or anything to entrust you with my product and you're out here with the motor. I know you might be in your personal vehicle or whatever, but that just sends the wrong message entirely. So you gotta, you know, sometimes I understand, you know, how if you're gonna make the decision to be on social media, you gotta be conscious of the image that you're putting out there on your digital footprint. You have to be aware and cognizant of the things that you may think, as frivolous as it may be. You never know how that may come across to a potential client or a customer, and maybe the one thing that you could be right there at the finish line. And well, before we decide to give this guy this $25 million contract, let's just do a little more research and vet him out, and that picture pops up, and that's what prevents you from you know, maybe striking the deal that's going to help propel your business to the next level. Yes,
100%.
You
know, Rico,
about.
That's your, you know, you have a corporate brand and you have a personal brand. And one is as important to the other as the other. And speaking of that, this is just coincidental. I read something on Sunday night in the New York Times. I had been on my way back from Florida, and I picked up a New York Times on over the weekend, and I love there's two newspapers in your country that I'm crazy about. One is the Wall Street Journal, and I do like the New York Times. It does have it's got some great information, and there was a story about a company called LaCroix. It's a water company,
right?
And it's flavored water. It's a great brand. They've done very well. They've had some difficulty recently because there were some accusations of LaCroix putting, and this was just one person's accusation, of using some harmful substance in their water. And this, again, this is an accusation. It's not fact. CEO of LaCroix, his name is Nick Caparella, And he said something that was so astute that I want to share it. I sent it actually to my business partners, and I want to quote him. Managing a brand is not so different than caring for someone who becomes handicapped. Brands do not see or hear, so they are at the mercy of their owners or care providers who must preserve the dignity and special character that the brand exemplifies. End of quote.
I'm sorry about that. See, technical, this has been a...
we're having a tough technical night.
Well, I tell you, we are going through hell and paying rent.
Well, we'll have a good time doing it.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, we've managed to suffer through the most part of this hour. We got about 5 minutes left in the show. You want to kind of wrapping up a doozy of a show? You want to go ahead and tell the good people how they can get in contact with you if they have any questions, or if they have any questions, if seeking any advice, or if they want to get in touch with you guys to do some business, pull some load.
Not a problem. Well, first of all, if you want to pull any loads, give me a call. I will introduce you personally to the people you need to talk to for what you're looking for. And I'm open to all our listeners. You can give me a call directly. My extension is 203, and that's really important. Mark that down with a big pencil, 203, because you won't get me without my extension. And the number here is 800-388-4352. So you can call me. You can email me, chuck@traffix.com. That's traffix.com. The website's www.traffix.com. You can even catch me on Instagram, and it's Chuck Snow, CEO. We are going to be at MATS this year, so if you are going to be attending MATS, which I hope you do, please stop by the booth. We are going to be right next to wherever Pittsburgh Power is. I always get my booth next to theirs, because they attract a lot of people. And if you want anything, if you want any advice, I've said it on the show a few times, but some of our listeners may not have heard it. Probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I decided that rather than donate money to all sorts of organizations, that instead I would donate my time to people in the trucking and logistics profession. So instead, that's what I do. So if any of our listeners needs some help working something out with a business problem, call me or email me. If you call me, you don't get me, leave a message. I return everybody's message if you leave a phone number and you speak clearly. And with that said, I'll help anybody that needs help if I can help you. I'll tell you where to get the help if I can't.
Sounds like a game plan. Well, Chuck, we want to thank you for taking time out of the schedule to come on and help us out and join us with this podcast. I need to look at the schedule. I think Seton is with us next week.
Okay.
Third week of the month. That is Seton's week. So next week on the 20th, we will have transportation attorney Hank Seton will be joining us, God willing. So if you guys got any questions about any type of contracts, any type of situations that you're dealing with, whether it be a detention issue, so on and so forth, anything that's dealing with brokers, contracts, any type of transportation legal issue that you may be facing. If you got those types of questions, you can send them to us at ratesandlanes@gmail.com. You can send them post them up on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page. And also, those are the two best places to send those. And make sure that you join us, and you can ask your question directly if you join us next week. So with all of that being, and without any further ado, this has just been I tell you, the gremlins have taken over this show. So we want to thank you guys, the listeners, for taking time out of your busy schedule. If you haven't went over and liked the Rates and Lanes Facebook page, please do that, because we are going to try to roll out, once I get the YouTube channel up and going, and I think I got everything that I need now for us to make that a reality. We're going to be rolling out the YouTube page, and we want you to go over to YouTube and subscribe and hit the bell notification button on YouTube once we get it up and going, so that when we get ready to go live, you can get a notification directly on your device, on your cell phone. That's going to be our notification system. We're going to utilize the system that YouTube has available. And if you go over and subscribe, and if you want to be notified when we go live, that little bell notification on YouTube will get you directly hooked up with that, so that you will be notified right when we're going live, and you will not miss anything. And if you do, you can go back, and we're going to have the recordings left up on YouTube for your viewing pleasure. So with all of that being said, greatly awaiting to get the YouTube channel up and going, excited about that. I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your schedule to join us tonight. God bless you. Be safe. And good night, everybody. And keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise. Until next week, this is Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow signing off on the Rates and Lanes podcast.
Catch you on the flip-flop.